At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch every single live Premier League game on Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports.
Yeah, you're very welcome back. Joe Malloy here. Johnny Ward is with us as well. Happy to bring in former Republic of Ireland manager Brian Kerr. Hiya, Brian.
Hiya, Joe. Hiya, John.
Great to have you with us. So, first competitive win for Stephen Kenny in 12 games. Much needed, to say the least. And 3-0 puts a nice sheen on the scoreline as well. What did you make of the performance?
Well, I think like everyone else that follows Irish football, I was delighted we got a win. Delighted that it wasn't too nervy at the end and we weren't hanging on. Yeah, it was a kind of a certain relief about it, the fact that we're not going to be, it doesn't look like we're going to be scrapping to finish last in the group. I thought the performance was overall quite good. And I wouldn't be too upset about the fact that they got numerous chances in the game and that we had the spell in the match before we got the second goal. After we scored the first goal, that period from maybe 10 minutes into 35, where they were on top and getting through us in midfield quite easily. And it was some desperate defending and blocked shots that kept them out from equalising. I wouldn't be over concerned about that, because that's like international football, and where we're at the moment that was to be expected, I'd say. And in the end, it was comfortable enough. And we should have wrapped it up in the second half with numerous chances to get a third goal before they had another little spell when Gavin Bazunu made two brilliant saves. And then at the end, another brilliant joint save between Duffy and Bazunu again to keep them out from scoring at 3-0. But, you know, overall, relief, I suppose, is my main kind of feeling about it, that Stephen got a win, and that we're not reviewing another dicky performance or sad tale of a late goal to rescue a draw, or the concession of a late goal to lose the match, as happened in Portugal. Two late goals, in fact, to lose the game.
You mentioned Bazunu there. His kickouts, for instance, caught the eye. He pretty much went past halfway with, I would say, at least 90% of them. Was there a touch more pragmatism on show here last night?
Yeah, well, we did the analysis on Virgin last night. It's often a bit helter-skelter because we're trying to get ready for, as it was last night, for the England game. But we were watching the game closely, myself and Damien Delaney, and from the outset, we're looking at that. We're looking at this, you know, image that was portrayed to us, that we were always going to be building it up from the back and we're going to be persistent with it. But we weren't last night, and it was sensible. Because you see how it's developing now, Joe? I kind of said this going back a good while. I thought Stephen misread how difficult international football was going to be in his earlier statements about how the team was going to play. We were going to dominate the towards of the pitch. We were going to control possession in all the areas of the pitch. It isn't that easy. It just ain't that easy, because the opposition look at how you're going to play. They analyse you as much as you analyse them, and they say, all right, so that's how they play. Well, would we let them play it out in the back and come up to the middle toward and then challenge them? Or in the case of Azerbaijan last night, say, hold on, we're not having that. We're going to go up and try and press you and force mistakes, the sort of mistake that led to the concession of the penalty against Portugal, if you're going to play it out. So they put five up the pitch and invited us to try and play out through. And the decision had obviously been made in advance, I would say, of the match, not to risk that situation of giving the ball away close to our own goal. And Gavin Bazunu kicked the ball well, I thought. I didn't think Adam Haidar did very well in terms of keeping it. He's not the most physical yet. He's still a young boy, or a young man, rather. and it wasn't winning many flick-ons, getting bumped off it when it was played long. But we did pick up the second ball at times, which is very important when you're going to play that long one. But well, your stats are right, I don't know, Joe, whether it was 90%, but I would say by far the majority of our kickouts went long. And I thought it was sensible. It was a sensible mix for the game, which I think a lot of people looking at our style over the last while have said that we need to bring that bit of common sense into it, and not be predictable about always trying to build her up through the three splits. Well, as it is now, the three split centre-backs, it used to be a back four until Anthony Barry came in and we began to play with three centre-backs before the game in Serbia, I think it was, where that shape was introduced. So we've gradually gone from that, oh, we're going to build her up all the time out in the back, to, right, we don't always build her up out in the back. If we have to play it long and use the kicking of our goalkeeper, and he's very good, whether he kicks it wide or kicks it through the middle, it's usually very close to one of our players, and that's a positive thing.
We spoke, Brian, just before you came on about the midfield, and I think we were in agreement, Joe and I anyway, that we were still really struggling to establish any control or foothold in games, even against Azerbaijan in midfield. What did you make of them?
I didn't hear that bit of the conversation, John, but I was at a match and I was just running back into the house. But what I'd say about that, again, we discussed it last night on our show, and you know, when you played the system we were playing, it was allegedly 3-4-3, but it was actually 5-2-3 once we got ahead in the game. Wing-backs McLean and Doherty were back as a five. So you had the two in front of Hendricks and Cullen. Now, we're playing with the three, and it was a three. Now, they weren't three, it wasn't three with two wide players. Robinson and Hogan were kind of playing in, you know, kind of off the front. They were almost what I'd describe as the old inside left and inside right positions. There was no wingers outside them. So they're in advanced positions. So once Azerbaijan broke that line or got possession a bit higher up the pitch than where our three front players were positioned, that's a tough one for Cullen and Hendricks to survive against that. They have a lot of ground to cover to get out to the wide positions for the advancing wing-backs that Azerbaijan are using. And Doherty and McLean seemed reluctant to go up and engage higher up than where our three centre-backs were. So I thought there was not a lot of work on the two centre midfield players. They're not great players. Hendrik is in a kind of a bit of a no-man's land at the moment now, isn't he? He's playing so little for Newcastle. And there's a reason for that. Obviously, he hasn't done very well. I don't like to say he's been in decline for a few years, but it seems to be since the finals in France, and you know, that spell when Brady and himself and James McCarthy looked like it was going to be the beginnings of a new Ireland dominating midfield, being able to get on the ball and pass the ball. That hasn't happened since his form at Burnley. I thought declined. He was playing less regularly. And since he's gone to Newcastle, he's been playing less regularly. Cullen is an emerging player. What's he now, 25, going on 26. His first real period as a first-team player at Anderlecht. I don't know what he was carrying a knock last night or what it was, but his recovery wasn't great. There was several instances where they got in the front foot, got players in position, higher up the pitch. Ozobek, the number 17, was running with the ball. Alaska, after number 7, is running with the ball. Matt Medev, the goal-scoring guy, he's on the ball. And Cullen seemed to be almost laboured getting back into position to get back to that position in front of the back five. So I agree with you. If you said that we still, you know, in midfield, we still get outplayed. But that's a problem, I think, of the system as well as the quality of the players.
Well, on that, Brian, that's the next question. He never played three at the back for Dundalk, and I was gobsmacked that now it seems to have become the fixture, certainly at the moment. You say the system, so what are the pros and cons of the three at the back? And also, obviously, you can play 3-5-2, but the system that you mentioned we play.
Well, I'm laughing because I was never a fellow that coached three centre backs. I was always playing forward, no matter what team I had and how weak we were. I might have restructured the midfield to solve a problem at the back, you know.
Yeah.
So I've never really had much. So what's the pros and cons? Well, it's developed into the system, and there's been periods in football. Football is like that, turns and cycles about what system is the best system or the most popular system. And we've seen the emergence of the three centre back system coming into play over the last year, and as more teams in the Premier League have started to use it. It seems that more teams are international level. You know, looking at Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, ourselves, suddenly we're all playing with a back three over the last couple of, or a back five in the last few days. And it's interesting to compare us to Wales and Scotland. I thought Wales were very good the other night in how they played it. They played with a back five, allowing Czech Republic come on to them. But when they broke out with the ball, they were very good. Then, because of the mistakes early in the second half of the match. Sorry, Johnny, I'm going away from what you asked me, but just I think you need to explain this. They went from, they were one up, played very well in the first half. Ramsey got a goal. Goalkeeper Ward didn't have anything to do, although the Czech Republic had a fair bit of the ball. And then mistakes. Ward gives away a goal. Second goal, they're suddenly 2-1 down early in the second half, and they have to revise the plan. So what did they do? They became an attacking 3-4-3. All of a sudden, and the right side of the centre back, Mepham, came into the game running with the ball and overloading the midfield, and they adapted completely to the situation or where the game was. They were losing, they had to pull something over, and they were rewarded with the goal, and they well deserved the goal. And they changed one of the midfield players. Joe Allen and Morel were doing very well as a defensive unit, supporting the centre backs. But once they lost the goal, the manager Page felt they had to change. They took Morel off, and they went for a more adventurous approach in the middle of the field. Just want to think of the change they brought Conor Roberts on the right side instead of Gunter, and they made another change in the middle of the field. It was more adventurous, and they kind of left Joe Allen to be the sitting player. And they took over the game anyway. From there, what's the advantage, disadvantage? Well, the advantage is if you're playing the three centre backs, if you want to play it out in the back, you know, if you think initially when Stephen was playing the forward the back, and he had Matt Doherty and Stevens advanced up the touch lines, and I thought they were too far forward when Egan and Duffy split, or whoever it was with Duffy when it was Egan, it was O'Shea, and the centre backs were very far split. And the full backs were pushed high up. And then when the ball was played into midfield, if it was lost, which it was, it was a long way for the recovery for the back four to get in position. We saw that against Finland and Bulgaria. Finland certainly scored goals where we were caught out of position. Duffy didn't cover, didn't get back in quick enough. So when you've got three, there's always a central player there. And the split, two split are wider. They're in good positions to receive it. They've got more options when they receive it. There's someone outside them, there's someone inside them, and there's an advanced player on the inside, then they can knock the long one if they want to. It always also gives you more players in the box when the opposition have it. We saw that last night numerous times, Duffy heading the ball away. John Egan got better as the match went on. I thought his tackle on the second goal where he went into midfield and won the ball was vital. Now, you can do that with three, whereas if you're two centre-backs, you don't want one of them going into the other half of the pitch winning tackles, or not winning tackles in case of the end, and one centre back left on the zone. So that's the advantage of the three, that you need, or you can expect, that one of the three can advance with the ball or go in and make tackles. And maybe we didn't do enough of that in the first half when they got to control in the game. But as it went on, our three centre backs, and you know, Andrew Omar Bamip Daly was very good at times. Good little interceptions, good headers. But Duffy was the outstanding one of the three. Compared to the four, you know, everyone knows the advantages of playing 4-4-2 or 4-3-3, and you've got three players to beat together in the middle of the field. Don't need to explain that to you, Johnny, or Joe. But, you know, it's just become... I'm sure the phase of the game will change again, and most teams will go back to playing some combination of four at the back and combinations in the middle.
And to be fair, it doesn't not suit Doherty, and even McLean going forward. That's one of his better games in a while, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought McLean played well. He made a great tackle, saving tackle late in the game. Had he not got it, had he not won it, they'd have free player on the outside. I think it was still at 2-0. And it was a really important tackle. I thought he was more disciplined in his performance last night, apart from one moment in the first half where I think Hogan sold him short with a pass and they were on the counter, and at one stage James took 2 seconds out to have a go at Hogan rather than retreat really quickly into the line. I thought other than that he was much more disciplined and less wild in his challenges. You know that aggression that the crowd love in Lansdowne Road, that everyone goes, yeah, you're in there James, great stuff. But you know, all, at times I think it's an over aggressiveness, it's wild, it roils the opposition. It pleases our fans, but also has a referee on his case. Mm. And I think his mental discipline dissipates at times, and it doesn't help the team. Mm. I think his aggression, controlled aggression, is very good to him. But I thought he played well. Really good pass on the first goal, on Robinson's goal. Really good pass, link up with Hogan on the second one. Really good pass to Tottenham Hogan on the second goal. So, yeah, and that, it suits Doherty, but it suits Doherty better, because when he plays in the four as a full back, I've said it numerous times, he doesn't recover quick enough in the back four.
And he's almost said it himself.
You have a bit more, and particularly with the mobility of Obama Daly, he's got someone who's mobile, who's comfortable to go out into the full back position to go on the right. And we saw that with him on the ball last night as well. He's happy to run with the ball a bit when the space opens for you, go on and take it and look comfortable on it. So I think it suits Doherty more than playing in the four. I think Coleman is better when we play in the four than Doherty.
It wasn't like it is now where you might play GAA and soccer and all sorts of other games as well. It really had a stigma.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
So to tease this out a touch then, we're all very happy with Bazunu. That back three seems to be working really well with Amabamadeli or Duffy and Egan, and you've Darrow O'Shea waiting in the wings. So
well, Joe, hold on. Now, that worked well last night.
Okay.
That worked well last night against Azerbaijan.
Do you not think it worked reasonably well in a couple of previous games as well? Do you not think it worked reasonably well in Portugal? Do you not think the Serbian performance...
We're on the back foot in Portugal against a good team, and back five are in place. Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll get to the point of the question.
We're beaten in the end, and the centre-backs didn't do anything with the cross when they come into the box in the end on the two goals.
Well,
so,
true.
You know, beating Serbia, that fella
Ronaldo's good in the air.
Back three, they scored three goals. So, you know, hold on here.
Okay, I take the point.
And then the other side of that is what Johnny brought up. What about the midfield? Midfield were overrun, but at times by Luxembourg in the middle of the field. I think we played a four.
We played a four against Luxembourg. We played a four against Luxembourg, so that's not the issue.
Overrun by Serbia in midfield.
Yeah.
In the 1-1 draw.
Hang on, look, I'm getting to a question.
Okay,
jeez, Luxembourg with a four, we weren't so good. So, like, let's not put it all on the three for a second. But let's just say, I'm talking in Stephen Kenny's eye here. Right, you don't have to agree with it, but in Kenny's eye, I'd say he's happy with Bazunu. I'd say he's happy with his three. I'd say he likes his options wing back as well. Again, I'm talking here, Stephen Kenny, you don't have to agree with it. I'm just trying to tease this out. He's happy with Cullen, clearly. And I'd say Hendrick has done enough. I mean, he was okay at times last night as well on the ball. He had his moments, I know, but he was okay. I'd say Hendrick's done enough to be in there again. I'm curious for your thoughts on what you think he's going to do with those front three. We can probably safely say Robinson is in. He's going to keep his place. I think we both agree with you. Ida didn't keep the ball well at all last night at times when he should have. And Horgan was taken off at halftime after doing well on a number of previous occasions when he came off the bench. So you've Parrott on the bench and you'd Connolly on the bench last night. That front three, if we want to call it a front three, Ida, Robinson certainly will be in, and Horgan. You were still looking for the right, or Kenny, I would say, is still looking for the right trio there. How do you see that in particular?
Right balance.
Yeah, how do you see that trio in particular?
Yeah, he's looking for the right balance in all areas of the pitch and the whole cohesiveness of the side. I thought Horgan, he's always energetic and he gets around well, and he's made an impact when he's come on and sub in several games I think it was Matthew Bulgari who played very well in two. But, you know, the reasoning for taking him off at halftime last night was the hope that Jamie McGrath was going to give us a little bit of a better balance in the midfield and more help to Cullen Hendrick. Maybe so, and more energy, because Daryl Horgan's been in and out of the team at Wickham even. He hasn't been playing every minute of every match. Mm. But we don't know. I don't know what Stephen's reasoning was on that. I thought he might bring on another a midfieldy player. But we've had a problem in that area of the pitch.
Yeah.
Wherever the combination, in the central area of the pitch with Cullen Hendrick, Malumbi when he's played, or Jason Knight. It always seems to be one of them a little bit further ahead of the ball. I thought the match in Hungary where they were getting out all the time on the left hand side, where it was Jason Knight was the one more advanced from the midfield. So I think we're going to have a problem with this if he persists with wanting to play three frontish attacking type players. Whether he's happy with a guy or not, he keeps picking them. But the alternatives aren't brilliant. Collins has just okay. He's got a couple of goals. Come on, so when he starts, he looks a bit cumbersome at times, and his touch is not the most subtle. I speculated yesterday, would Keane get a go? Would he do a bit of a mad one? But he didn't even get into the list as we saw Troy Parrott. So I think it's Stephen has learned a bit, you know.
What about Connolly, Brian, then? Is he just like, because he's kind of half been frozen out now after the backing he gave him?
After which game?
After the backing that he gave him up until the half time in the Azerbaijan game, I guess.
Yeah.
But they weren't happy with him in the Azerbaijan game. They weren't happy with the way he did his work rate. They weren't happy with that in the Azerbaijan game.
Yeah. Well, I have felt from the start, you know, I admire the idea, yes, give the young players. For too many years, we've had a dearth of young talent coming into our teams. It's been, you know, too many players around the 28, 29, 30 mark, 31 mark, and no one around the 21, 22, 23 mark. So I admire Stephen. Look, he's had to do it, and he's done it. And that's fair enough. Someone had to do it. It needs to be done, right? But I think he's on the other way in terms of, like, why have we got the results we've had so far? And, you know, Stephen pointed out and come up with the one yesterday, we only lost one game in the last seven, and isn't it great? Well, hold on here. Those seven have been a draw with Qatar. You got a match where, look, I watched Andorra last night. They'd struggle in the AOL Premier the way Andorra played last night against England. A draw with Hungary before they went to the Euros. We lost to Portugal. We drew with Azerbaijan at home. And we drew with Serbia at home. Isn't it great? Seven, three friendly matches. Anyway, there's progress there. But to try to claim it's miles better than it was is not true. But I felt he was wrong in trying to play Parrott, Connolly, and Haddad, trying to get away with all those young players playing at international level, physically, mentally, technically, Goyle. They don't have it yet. They're not playing regularly at clubs. The reason they're not playing regularly at the clubs, they're better players at the clubs than they are. That's why Parrott has gone down the divisions to play.
He's learning on the job, Brian, isn't he? Like, because he's the three, starting them three against Azerbaijan was a massive own goal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think so. And I wonder about the advice around them. And is there no one there that says, oh, I'm not so sure about that? And what are you going to get from them? And, like, it's easy for us to say it after event, but before the event, I would have been saying that Connolly, there's a reason why he's not playing at Brighton. There's something not right with him. Whether it's his personality, whether it's his attitude, it's not as... Maybe there's doubts about his fitness. He seems to go in and out of periods where he's out for a few weeks with a bit of hamstring trouble. There may be a physical thing there. But when he's playing and he's fit, it's not a physical thing because he runs very quick. He has great assets.
Yeah.
He has good technique, but mixed technique. It doesn't always work for him. There's a mental thing with him where if it doesn't start well, then it can get a bit worse. So, you know, there's something inherently missing with him at this stage of his development and his career. He's 21 and he's not playing for Brighton. He's an in and out first match of the season. he's suddenly not in the squad on the first day. Something happened the day before the first game of the season with the manager. So was it an attitude thing with him? Has he got to improve on that? Maybe he has. Does he need better advice around him in terms of his attitude? You know, so you're relying on someone like that to get your results in major because he has ability, he has pace, he's troublesome to centre halves, he's aggressive. He's not a great team player. He's not doesn't make good choices on the ball.
No. And I think Daryl Horgan's pass for the second goal.
Sorry, I'm going to have to wrap it all up. We're way over time. Apologies. Brian, I know you've got virgin duty anyway. Thanks a million.
Oh, I probably went on a bit.
You never go on a bit. Would you stop?
No,
it was great. That was super. Thanks so much, Brian. Brian Kerr with us there. Great to have him on. Football and Off the Ball brought to you by Sky. All the football you love in one place across Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports. Get to some of your texts next.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch Premier League, Women's Super League, Scottish Premiership and much more. Live on Sky Sports.